podcast. We hope you're encouraged.
It's always a joy for Helen and I to come to Thrive, and it sort of sits in my calendar as something that I look forward to very much every single time. And every time we come, it just is better, nicer. Praise God. I'm sure we all want to do something strong with our life. And in fact, through the strength that God gives us, we can all do strong things. We can. We're actually here for that, to do something strong in God. We want to thank the church here, Thrive Church. Thank you for your support of our church planting in Turkey. Even though there's been something like 50 ministries kicked out of Turkey in the last 12 months through this year, things are thriving for us over in the, what's called the, province. I don't know why I can't remember that word. The province of Çanakkale, which is where Gallipoli is, where we've planted the work of God there. And it was a province with no church, as is the case, was the case of 41 of the 81 provinces of Turkey, no church whatsoever. We now have four congregations there and another new thing starting up further up in the north. And we praise God for the growth, and we filter news to you, but we're very, very careful with what news comes out of Turkey. We've had Australian friends who just in this last week have been exiled from Turkey, simply because they're Christians. We've had a Korean missionary murdered in the last week, and so it's a touchy situation. But in spite of that, the churches there are growing, and new people are getting saved, and we get the photos each few months of the latest baptism, with 11 and 15 at a time being baptized publicly, openly, in the little bay at Çanakkale City, which is right by Gallipoli. And so we praise God for that kind of wonderful partnership we have with Thrive. Maybe some of you don't even know that your church does this every month, helping us to support that work and plant that work and increase that work. And it's a tremendous privilege for us to have that partnership with you. Should I be doing something to stop that, or what should I do? All right, go ahead. It's still doing it. Oh, how's that? Now that's good. Now I can concentrate. I've been here talking and had my concentration. I can't do two things at the same time. I can't walk and chew chewing gum at the same time. Anyway, it's a joy to be here and to bless you and bring a word for you. I've had this word. Sometimes you feel like there's just a word I can't put my hand on. It's just a word that I really need to get into my Christian vocabulary, because, you know, you get your strong, wonderful words, your faith and your hope and your love. And sometimes there's like a word that you just think, what wraps all of this together in the way God wants me to be in Him? And I've got a word today. I had this word floating around for a few weeks now, and it began in a worship environment in Vanuatu a couple of weeks ago, where I was, and they invited me to share something with the people. And I'd actually worked that whole day so hard until I got back to the place where I was supposed to minister on 6 o'clock in the evening, and everyone was already there, and I felt utterly unprepared. I had to sneak around the back and take a shower and change my clothes and go straight into this worship experience, and they were expecting something incredible from Steve. And I didn't feel like even being there at first, because I felt like a great big hypocrite, because I'd been laying concrete blocks and I'd been mixing concrete and I'd been involved in other parts of what we do. And this word just came like from the Holy Spirit and just cracked open that meeting in an incredible way. And so from that, I've developed something that I feel God saying to His church. This is only in the last couple of weeks, the last two Sundays, that this has been, I've been carrying this particular word, and the word is expectation. And I was just interested when Amy prayed for me, the last thing she prayed, she said, when she talked about today, she said, my expectant hope and my expectant prayer for you. Expectation in the life of a Christian is a tremendously powerful thing, but it always comes under attack. What happens in our lives, things happen which make us wonder what to expect. You know, I don't know if you've ever been in Vanuatu, and the bus drivers are simply unbelievably erratic. And I followed one through Port Vila last week, and it had a big sign on the back of it, expect the unexpected. And I thought that was the best sign on one of their buses. That's like a safety warning. Anything could happen. But, you know, life does that to us anyway. You know, when you believed for a thing and it didn't happen? You know, when you've hung on to God for something and you didn't get what you wanted? You know, when things just came from nowhere, like something came from left field and just flattened you? You know, one of the first things that suffers is your expectation from God. Because we don't want to be disappointed. None of us want to be disappointed. None of us want to live with a belief in God, but so cautious about having any expectation because of things that have happened. And I would honestly say that there would be many of us here who could immediately grab that and say, I know exactly what you're talking about. I went through this. I'd been praying for this and it just didn't come. Well, I want us to talk about expectation today because it is so powerful. It is like the cord that ties our faith and our hope into now. We need something to bring promises into the now. We know the future promises of God, how powerful they are. We all believe. We're here because we believe in the future promises of God, but we can find it so hard to tie it back into the now. When we might be able to say, well, you know, things aren't real great at the moment, but maybe down the track. Expectation is such a powerful thing, and the word itself is powerful. Let's have a look what King David said. Let's remember David didn't really have everything his own way. Let's remember that from the time he was anointed to be king over all of Israel, it actually took 20 years. First he became the king of Judah after some time, and then he became the king of Judah and Israel. 20 years. And in that 20 years, there was everything to make him feel like there was this great big contradiction at work on a daily basis, where all of the promises were being contradicted by circumstances that were against him continually. But listen to what he says here in Psalm 62 and verse 5 through 8. My soul, wait only on God and silently submit to him. For my hope and expectation are from him. This is telling us something straight away. Expectation is not something that you have to build up or work on, or you've got it as an assignment. Now, here's your assignment for this week. I want you to work on your expectation. The first thing to know what David said here, this is something that comes from him to me. My expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense and my fortress. I shall not be moved. With God rests my salvation and my glory. He is my rock and my unyielding strength. Impenetrable hardness and my refuge is in God. Trust in, lean in, rely on, and have confidence in him at all times. You people, pour out your hearts before him. God is a refuge for us, a fortress and a high tower. When we think of the word expectation, when David used this word, he is my expectation. My expectation is from the Lord. It's an interesting Hebrew word that he used here, which is sometimes interpreted hope, but each time in the Bible it's interpreted expectation, that word used is from this one word called tikvah. You might have it there. Now that's the Hebrew way of writing it. It looks a little bit different from ours. Well, that's beautiful, isn't it? You just can't read it. But it is. It's beautiful. We know what it is, tikvah. Just think of this word. What is tikvah? Tikvah is fundamentally a cord, something that ties things together, something that is used to connect, something that actually, when you use the word tikvah, you are speaking about tying the promises, the faith, the hopes of God into the present. Expectation ties things into the present where we are now. It binds us to the hope of God. Expectation is the thing that ties us together with God. I'll never forget the time when our first grandchild was born. Our little girl, Gabby, was born with a massive, massive problem. Deformation of her heart and the valves in her heart, and she was flown from Newcastle to Sydney at sea level in a helicopter and went through operations. The first operation went for like 15 hours and it looked like we were going to lose her. In fact, there was no reason that she shouldn't have. And my wife and I, of course, Helen had been non-stop in Sydney with our daughter at the hospital, and I came and went, and I'll never forget the afternoon that it was at its worst, when all of her vital signs, so she'd been just held in a particular state with instruments, and even the open chest had remained open for 5 days. And her vital signs were that everything was shutting down. And I was in the back behind our house praying to God, and suddenly in my prayer I was transported into an ocean that was just boiling in fury. And my little granddaughter was there drowning in that ocean. And in this where I was, I swam to her with a cord. And I lay on my back and placed her on my chest and managed to wrap the cord around the two of us. And I knew that this was what intercession feels like. I'm not saying it was only my prayer, that there were others, of course. There was my wife and our family and so many around the world praying for Gabrielle. But I had this incredible, I was in this. It was as real as if I was really there. And I strapped her to my chest and swam on my back and brought her safely to the shore. And I started to believe from that moment. Helen was home with me on that day, and we had to, and she'd been in Sydney, and we'd come up, and then the next day they were planning an operation again, a second operation, to try and connect different arteries in and bypass the major valve that wasn't working and all the other functional problems of her heart. And they told us that her vital organs had been shutting down, and we drove down. We walked in and our daughter said, "They're doing the operation." The doctor had said a couple of hours before there'd been a turning point. And they did the operation. She's nearly 15 years old now. She's the tallest girl in her class. She's a pride and joy to us. This cord that ties things to the present. Intercession does that. When you pray for people, when you intercede, it has this maybe you've never really looked into what it means when you intercede, even for one another. When you actually come to that place where you have taken on that person and brought them with you before the face of God. Expectation is the cord that ties us into tomorrow. It ties us into the promises. It ties us into the faith of God, into the hope of God. It's a powerful, powerful thing to have in your life. And when it gets affected, when it gets cut off, you know, it talks about with the unrighteous, that they have no expectation, but the expectation of the righteous is only good. For those who are not following Christ, it says their expectation will be cut off, but the expectation of the righteous is only good. For my expectation is from the Lord. He's calling me into something that ties me to Him and to His promises and to His word. When I pray for people, when I get the privilege to be out ministering the gospel, when I see miracles happen, I see my expectation come to pass. And you feel like so humbled by it. You feel so absolutely and utterly humbled by the fact that God did what you were carrying as an expectation in your heart. You feel like you had cooperated with the voice of God. You had come into a place where you were tied to what God wanted to do. And you felt like this cooperation had been tied between you and the promises of God. What a powerful place to feel. What a humbling experience when you feel you've been attached to a purpose that God had. And He spoke it to you and it came to pass. It's tremendous. I find it not a thing that makes me feel bigger. It actually makes me feel absolutely humbled what God could do. We took a small team to the Philippines recently. And we're having tremendous church planting in one of the islands in the Philippines at the moment. It's one of the most powerful periods of growth that we've ever seen in all of our ministry, actually. And we saw hundreds and hundreds of miracles. And one lady, 9 years in a wheelchair. And she stepped up out of that wheelchair and then she ran around the whole meeting. And everything broke loose and 500 people were saved. And the mass baptisms we've been having ever since, and the new people coming to Christ ever since who knew her story. When your expectation comes to pass like that, our expectation is from the Lord. The Bible talks about hope, and it says in Hebrews something wonderful. In Hebrews, it's been talking about our hope in God, and it says from chapter 6, verse 19, "But we have this hope as an anchor for the soul. It enters behind the veil into the inner sanctuary of God where Jesus, our forerunner, has entered for us." The anchor of a Christian does not go down into the world. It goes up into the heavens. The anchor rope of faith doesn't rest in everything that we want to, you know, experience or have or do or be or become or my dreams or my hopes or all this stuff. It's all anchored up there. The anchor rope goes up. Imagine an anchor that doesn't do anything like what anyone else would. You normally put an anchor down. I do when I take my boat out on the rare occasions, like every 5 years or whatever. Every time I take it out, I've got to get the motor serviced because it did 1 hour in the last 5 years. But anyway, you put the anchor down into something that you think will hold you. It says, we have this hope like an anchor in the heavens behind the veil where Jesus is. Enters right into the holy place. Wow. Awesome. So with David, he knew how to command his soul in this matter. And when it comes to expectation, I think being able to command something into your own soul is very important. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Rejoice in God. He spoke to himself. Talked to the condition of his soul. And then when he was in horrible places, where he was behind, hiding in the shadows of caves, an anointed king, when he was pursued by enemies, when he was hated, when he was wanted signs all over Israel, reward signs, you know, just like the old westerns. And there is King David, his picture. And they're after him. They're after his soul. And King Saul would not let it go, could not. And yet he commanded his soul. He described God in such beautiful ways, even in the worst of times. My rock, my salvation, my defense, my fortress, our glory, unyielding strength, impenetrable in his power, refuge, fortress, strong tower. Psalm 61, verse 2. You know, we used to sing, when we used to sing scriptures from the old scripture in song for us, those of us who have blonded our hair, hear my cry, O Lord, attend unto my prayer. From the will I cry unto thee. And when my heart is, lead me to the rock that is higher than I, that is higher than I. It's funny to do that because some of you are looking at us like, what on earth are they, what are they singing about? Where did they drag that one up from? I've been in a very bad habit lately. I mean, you can find all of your old favourites. I've been finding BJ Thomas, and I've been finding all these old guys from my young youth, and playing them, and they're all there on YouTube, and it's just awesome, fantastic. Phil Keaggy, oh man, good stuff. The cord that ties us to a loving God. For you've been a shelter unto me and a strong tower. God is my expectation. And so there's these four things that I see in this psalm that we read from Psalm 62. First is God's unfailing in his love and his commitment to us. Second one that I see, and I'll just pick out a few little favourite stories in the Bible. The second foundation really that I read within David was this thing about the power of his presence with him. We cannot switch on and switch off the presence of God. We may endeavour to, or we may even be ignorant of his presence with us. But in fact, his presence is unfailing. Absolutely unfailing. And this is something powerful where our expectation can anchor itself, is the power of his presence. He says, I will abide in your tabernacle forever and trust in the shelter of your wings. That's how he finished off that psalm. I think of Elijah the prophet. Now, Elijah interests me greatly because we hear about him very, very late in the Bible, and it talks about Elijah was a man of the same sort of passions and ways as us. He was just a bloke like the rest of us. He was just a human. He was a person. Elijah was obviously very human. And yet it says, yet he spoke to the weather that it would not rain until he commanded it. And it happened for him. But as you go through the story of Elijah, where this came from in 1 Kings chapter 19, he had called down fire from heaven. He had seen the prophets of Baal destroyed. He had seen the most massive victory and all of the spiritual dominance of Jezebel had been broken up on Mount Carmel when the Lord came and consumed the offering altar that Elijah had prepared, proving the power of God. And yet you find that he fled and was hiding by a brook, and he was actually requesting to die. He was saying, it's all over, you know. He was depressed. And he was doubting the future because he talked about, there's just none left anymore. I seem to be the last guy who'll stand up for you, Lord. So God visited him first with three great manifestations of power. And it says here from 1 Kings 19:11, then the Lord said, go and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and powerful wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. But after the fire, a still small voice. Elijah was a man of these great, big, massive manifestations of God's power, and God dealt with him in that way quite constantly through Elijah's life. He was somebody who was on the edge of the incredible interventionary ways of God, where God intervened in things in those big and dramatic ways. But behind it, something even more important than that was a voice that would speak. And one of the Bible verses described this still small voice, a delicate wisp of vapour, a touch of majestic presence was there. That's the point at which he speaks to us. But one of the things that I noticed was that our expectation comes from his presence, not just from his works, not just from the spectacular, but alone with the presence of the Almighty. Now listen to this. Everything This is what God was showing him first. Everything in heaven and on earth is at his command. Never, ever forget that. That's what these things, the wind, the earthquake, the fire, everything is at his command. And when we see that, we'll hear the whisper. I know that this is true. I know that this is central in this whole message for me. When I see it and know it above everything else, that everything in heaven and earth is at his command, when I see that, understand that, receive that, then I can hear him. I can hear the whisper when I've seen that. And what was the whisper? What was the whisper? Go and anoint someone that I've prepared for you. He's going to do twice as much as you did. He's going to have a double portion of your spirit upon him. See, that often the way with pioneering people, Helen and I, we're pioneering, but we've never pastored a church that we didn't start. And we've started lots, but we've never gone in and we're pioneering people. That's who we are. That's our nature. That's all I grew up with. When I was 16, got my guitar, went with my dad over northeast Victoria, different towns all the time, Saturday nights, Sundays, Sunday nights, out somewhere. I'll do the praise and worship, dad will preach, and the little church begins. That's all I've ever known. But what you understand is that what you do as a small trail, your whole heart desire is that's going to turn into a highway. That the ones coming behind you are going to walk that trail that you walked and opened up, and they're going to open up a highway. Oh, yeah. And he's saying, Elijah, I got good news for you. Don't be discouraged. I got someone who can do twice as good as you did. Go and anoint him to be the prophet in your place. Wow. Beautiful. Fantastic. Everything is at his command. Sometimes when I pray and I start to see things, I just feel like God is like this general. It's a little bit like the old movies with the Civil War in America, whenever that was, North and South. And see in the movie, there's always this general who's always immaculate and wise, and they roll out this plan of battle. Sometimes I just feel like occasionally God just rolls out his plan and says, I'm going to show you something. And you see that he's got it all at his command. He knows. He's got it all at his command. And when you see that, you'll hear that whisper of his voice, of his presence. That's my confidence in everything, is that God has everything at his command in heaven and on earth. Amen. The third thing, oh my goodness, there's only nine things. I'm gonna rush this because I need to be good. Blessed are the brief, for they shall be invited back. God can transform your darkest times and circumstances. This is a powerful element of expectation, that God is a transforming God. Even when I don't see it, you're working. How did that song go? Even though I can't feel it, you're working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Yeah. You should have Thrive Music coming with me to different parts of the world. I'm commanding it. I have an expectation of. Oh man, I got some places in the Pacific that God's cracking open, and I walked in, and this Pacific Island heritage guy gets up and opens his mouth, and my goodness. Oh, God, bring him with me, God. Hey, how about how we feel about society at the moment? How about how we feel about our nation and society? How about we heal here? How about how we feel about how it all is? I think a lot of us go through anxiety about the future. Sometimes when I go and preach at churches, I get people like high school headmasters and deputy principals, and these people come for prayer. They say, I just have absolute anxiety about the future. When I see the young kids coming through, their hearts are broken about the future, which of course can turn easily to anxiety. What about if we understand the God who can transform even the darkest times? An anchor to this. This is what David was prophesying about in his psalm. He is the anchor of my soul. He is my refuge, my strength, my high tower. He was speaking into a thing, commanding his soul as he spoke to not be cast down about what's in front of him, but to actually anchor himself to the reality of who God is. And when society is getting darker, now think about Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. Here they are in Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar is king. Nebuchadnezzar not only is leading them further and further into idolatry and darkness, but he now creates a massive 90-foot, 60-cubit. There's a cubit. Ever wonder what a cubit was? It's the based on the distance between your fingertips and your elbows. It's a cubit. 60 cubits high, 90 feet high, 30 metres. That's pretty big, covered in gold, and it's him. It's his own image. Everyone has to bow down to it. You know the story. Incredible story. Incredible story. But just look for the expectation here. It says here in Daniel chapter 3, and if anybody could have been depressed about the state of the nation, it was these three young guys, because these were the captains over all of the kingdom. They were not just three young blokes who were disobedient and having their protest. They didn't have their protest placards up. They were three young, godly men who'd been fasting and praying, who were men who were in the middle of a country that was falling apart at the seams and moving into abject idolatry. And so, you know, the command was there, you shall listen this and you shall stand up and what is this? Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. It's there somewhere in Daniel chapter 3. How am I going to finish this? I got no idea. I'm really sorry. I'm sorry. What time did I start? Have I got... All right, so this is how it went. You know how it went anyway. And the king says, I'll give you a second chance. You bow down to my image. And they said, it's just not going to happen, king. You have no need to speak in this matter. That's what they said to him. King, you have no need to speak in this matter. Three things they said. Our God can deliver us from that fiery furnace. Reminds me of Abraham's faith when he put his son on the altar. The Bible says in the New Testament in Hebrews, for he knew in his heart that God was able to raise him from the dead. That's what Abraham's faith was. Now you look at these three guys. Our God can deliver us. Next thing they said, which was pretty amazing, our God will deliver us from your furnace, king. But then he said the last thing, but even if not, we won't bow down. Some faith preachers would say, I don't know why they put that bit in there. Why would you put a sentence like that? It was all faith up until that moment. And here was the strongest expression of faith of all was the even if not. Because the even if not said, even if it's not what I think, it'll definitely be what God thinks. For he commands every situation. He is at the command of every circumstance. Where I am, God is there. And our God is able and our God will. But even if not, we will not bow down to this. That's the way to command your soul. That's the way to speak expectation into your being. And of course, we know the outcome was the transformation of the gospel. Incredible, audacious expectation. How about we leave it there? Don't worry about number four. Oh, number three. Four. That was three. Number four, I can't even remember what it was. I've closed the book. And of course, the last one was all about... Oh, I'm sorry, I missed it. Remember our little word, tikvah? You know where it's most powerfully used in the Bible? You know where it finds its home is in a scripture in Jeremiah that says, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to do you good and not to do you evil. That I may give unto you tikvah, an expectation and a hope of the future. Expectation is that beautiful cord that ties us to the promises of God. It wraps itself around our life. that chord of expectation in your heart and in your mind where God writes His principles and His laws and His promises, that chord that ties us to the faith and hope of God is expectation from God. Now maybe you've lost your expectation because some things didn't happen. I sometimes wonder if God is in the no answer a lot more than we realize. I've had the no answer from time to time and I have not understood it. I don't understand a no from God. But what I do understand about God is He has the whole world at His command. He has my world at His command. I understand that He is for me. I understand that He is working on my behalf. I understand that He is my refuge and my strength, and my expectation is from the Lord. He gives it to me. It's like He drops down a rope of hope and He says, now tie this to yourself. Tie it into your heart and your mind and begin to command your soul to be tied to the promises of God and to the faith of God and to the Word of God and the promises of God. Expectancy. Church, expect that God is going to do even more, even greater, even better, even stronger. God's got a strong call over you and over your church, over your family, over the circumstances of your life. God is there and He is for you and He's on your behalf. And God is committed to you. He's committed to me. He committed Himself beyond 100% to every single one of us, that we could stand in expectation of a good God, a good God. Stand up together. I'm going to pray for us as a church. And after we have this prayer, I'm sure Amy will come and just pray the blessing of God on us. And then Helen and I will be here and the church ministry team, and we'd like to pray for you. If you need to just grab a hold of this rope, of this cord of expectation again, we'd love to pray with you individually. I have a strong feeling that this message is for some particular people here in the church, that there are things that you are facing at the moment and you just don't have any real expectation. You don't know what to expect, what to believe. You don't know whether God's going to come through in this. So we would love to pray for those folks like that individually. First, let's pray. Lift up your hands to the Lord. I believe that every single one of us in this room just needs to grab hold of that cord of expectation that comes from the very throne of God, that comes from behind the veil, this anchor for our soul, this which the Bible calls the hope, the tikvah of our life. It's the expectation that the Lord offers and gives. And I think that we just need to reach out now and take that rope of expectation and say, Lord, this is for me. This is Your promise for me, that I can tie myself to this. I can tie my dreams to this. I can tie my future to this. I can tie my whole life and my family and my business, my grandkids. I can tie it to You, Lord. This is my hope. This is my expectation of the Lord. It's only good that God is a good God who is for me, not against me, who is committed to me. Plans to do you good and not to do you evil, that you may have a tikvah, that you may have an expectation and a hope, a future hope. Father, we pray this over the church, Your people, Your living, dynamic body here in the earth, that through the people of this wonderful body here will flow a new confidence, Lord, that our expectation as people of God is from the Lord. Our expectation is only good, that our God who commands the heavens and the earth, our God who commands every circumstance in heaven and on earth is here, and we are joined to You through our expectation. We take hold of that cord of hope. We grip onto that cord of hope, that expectation of God. And I tie my mind to it, and I tie my heart to it, and I tie my life to it. Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Receive that in Jesus' name.